Okay. So should I start?
Yes.
Okay. So hello everyone. I'm going to be talking to you about moral dimension of the financial arrangement among young family households in Poland. And I would like to say that this is the first stage of the major research project I'm conducting right now. And for the next two years, I will be doing this research. It's about studying how young couples in Poland handle money, between how they make money arrangements between each other. And we are focused on this special cohort of young adults who are like in this age when they experience transition from socialism to market economy in Poland. And me and my research team, we are interested in this dynamic of monetary practices in family households, and on the socio-economic and cultural context which frames these practices. And as you see, we are interested in this micro-sociological perspective, and this project was highly influenced by Viviana Zelizer's works on social meaning of money, earmarking, and relational work. Today I'm going to talk about the very first stage of this field work, because it was conducted in December in January. So for the last 2 weeks, I was like analyzing the data, which are very fresh, and we will be studying 32 households in total during this whole project, but during this year we'll be studying 16 households. And what about the sample? They are all young, they are middle class with at least 2 years of higher education, double earners, and we studied two cases, cases of beginnings of cohabitation where a couple has to settle all the arrangement about how to share bills, how to pay for groceries, and so on. And four cases of mortgage takers when people decided to have this mortgage for like 30 years together, and they have this shared obligation. We are studying these households qualitatively. We are conducting multiple interviews, returning interviews, talking with couples together and talking with them separately. We ask them also about writing some notes, some financial diaries about paying for gas, paying for groceries, and so on. And then we analyzed it and discussed how people were justifying some expenses. Now I'm going to talk about this financial arrangement, because this is the major theme that emerged from our previous research on the internet. People were discussing some issues about money handling and how they should do it in a fair way. So this notion of fairness emerged. And we decided that for this workshop we'll be focusing on this financial arrangement and this moral dimension of it. Research questions for today is how this double earner heterosexual couples organize their economic resources, how they pull them in together, or they keep them separate, or they are using any kind of mixed system. And we were talking about practices, so people were describing what they do and how they do, but we are more interested in justifications and discourses that were mobilized when people were talking about these practices. So not what they were doing, but why they doing in that way. So on what kind of moral logic they were functioning. So this financial arrangement usually comprises several elements how couples perceive the money. So if couple considers the money as common or individual, and if a couple is allocating this money on joint account or two separate accounts or several accounts, because that's sometimes the case, who controls the money, who makes decisions about the expenditure? Is couple having some kind of discussion or consultation about money in general? And we can say that financial arrangement is about management of money, it's about budgeting, it's about controlling the money. But it's not only that. And as I said, we are more interested in this moral logic of decisions made by couples. And we discovered that this financial arrangement has this moral dimension also. It's something more than simple budgeting, because it embraces not only economic issues, but also emotional ones. So when people are using money, they use it in a way that defines their relationship. They do some kind of valuation of this relationship. And couples with we are working with, they were telling that they are looking for some kind of good life, and they were looking for some kind of fairness. So that was the main purpose of handling the money well. And when it comes to this fairness, there are different kind of modes how this fairness can be accomplished. And it depends sometimes on the stage of the relationship. For example, in the early beginnings of relationship, people tend to use this half and half mode, and then they switch rather to this more or less egalitarian mode. And the couples who are together for many years and they have children together or mortgage together, they likely are into this common pot mode. And I will tell you a little bit about this mode. So first one is half and half. It's based on half and half principle. And when we are talking about how this principle looks in practice, so people were telling us that they consider themselves as equal contributors. So they keep their money separately, but they purposively pull in money for some everyday expenditures, something like bills or groceries or gas for the car. And these couples who are using this half and half mode, they were very attached to this pure calculative approach. So they were doing a lot of math, they were doing a lot of exact calculations. Some couples actually were using Excel sheet to establish some justice, some equality between them. And very well, the cash was flowing a lot between them. So they, for example, if one person did some shopping, the other person immediately gave back the cash. So this half and half model is based on the principle that two individuals, two double earners in a household are equal, and they should keep their independence. They should be equal contributors, because it's all about equality. But somehow this mode is challenged by income disparity. Even if the both partners were double earners, usually that is the case in Poland, that men earns more. And somehow the woman couldn't afford some kind of activities that a man was proposing. So this challenge was overcoming about adjusting to this partner's individual financial situation. Or if that was the case, that man was earning less, so the woman decided, so we don't have to go to Asia on travel, so we can afford something cheaper, and so on. So we observe some practices of adjusting to this financial individual situation to keep this fairness going. And then we had this more or less egalitarian mode, and that was the most of our couples were saying that they search for this kind of mode. So it's not about this half and half and purely mathematical approach, but it's more about keeping the balance. The balance can be kept by embracing of a system of exchange. For example, one part is purchasing the groceries, another partner is paying for gas. They were making some kind of paying back, but not in cash, not physically, but mentally. So they established some kind of debt between them, and then they trying to keeping the to keep the balance, and they were constantly monitoring this debt. So, for example, this debt was easily to observe. For example, when some partner bought some groceries, the items were visible in the fridge. And the other person was thinking, okay, so now I'm should I do something by myself for this household? And the people were saying that they monitor quite regularly, so this debt won't become like bigger. And this some woman said that she had this alarm signal in her mind. If she was observing that her partner paid too much, she did something for the household to in order to pay back this debt. However, couples who were using the more or less egalitarian mode, they were saying that they are not counting the debt exactly. They were avoiding doing exact calculations, because that would mean that they are not in a real relationship. They like friends or like colleagues, but not as a couple. A couple should avoid doing these calculations exact, especially in public. All our couples were saying about some friends who are doing these calculations between themselves in public, and it was something very awkward, and that should be avoided. So these couples were ignoring big numbers, and not small, sorry, my mistake. Small numbers, they were ignoring small numbers, they only shared some big numbers, and they were forgetting about some small expenses. So justification for this mode is about keeping the balance, and the balance is the principle they really put much attention to it. But this mode, of course, is challenged by some income disparity, as always, and difficult financial situation by one partner who, for example, loses his job or have some extra expenses. And when couple has to make some mutual investments, for example, to buy a car or furniture or TV set, and they have to decide how to pay for it and what would be the formal ownership of these assets. And we observed that the couples were in this mode were switching from more or less mode to this common pot mode. So even they were talking, oh, we are like equal partners, we observed that somehow the partner who earned more was somehow helping out the other partner. So somehow the borrowing money became giving and was never paid back, this debt. And it was justified by some kind of different forms of earmarking money. For example, we had the couple who actually in front of me had an argument about who paid for the last vacation, and because they were saying that they equally, more or less equally, paid for this vacation, but it came about that was the woman who made a bank transfer and man never paid her back. And she was, oh my God, I paid for this travel. And and he said, yeah, but you had this extra money for your walk. Oh, extra money, it comes for pleasure, so it's okay. So you don't have to pay me back, because she has this earmarking system that extra money isn't go to this common pot that is like shared equally. So it's all about earmarking. And the last mode is a common pot mode, which we observed among couples who were like who had mutual investments together. They bought a house or a car, or they had babies, and so we observe that they avoid to do any form of calculation between them. Somehow individual debt becomes our debt, for example, before marriage or before taking a mortgage, two women had to pay some kind of debt on a credit card made by their partners, but it was okay because now we are a couple and it's not individual, it's our debt. And these couples, they contribute according to their possibilities and they support each other during some kind of difficult periods of time because one of partners is unemployed or is enrolled in some kind of expensive postgraduate studies or is taking care of a baby. But so the couples wouldn't apply any calculation system because that wouldn't make sense for them. And we observed that even the couples who didn't have any mutual investments for now, but they had some kind of future, so they this future was a factor to start putting money aside, which would be common money, shared money, and having a future together like leads people to go to this common pot mode. Okay, and that's my time is finished. So I would just say that this pursuit of fairness can be described in many ways. It depends on the stage when the relationship is on, and it's a vivid example of relational work described by Viviana Selizer. That's all. Thank you.
Perhaps you'd like to sit down while some people ask you some questions.
Yeah.
Oh, you can sit at the front.
Thanks a lot, and very interesting also, especially in terms of my work as well. So it reminded me very much of this spectrum of closed to open reciprocities of Marshall Salins.
Yeah.
And my question is, in the justifications they do for why they are doing it like that, do they sort of think or tell you about the market as something that is distant and impersonal and so on?
No, the market hardly ever appears in their narrations. They talk about like two individuals being together in this inside world, and they make some arrangements in order to have a good life together, to be a good couple. It's all about fairness between them. And market, it's like somehow non-existent in their narrations. Mm-hmm. For now, we'll be posing them many questions afterwards because we'll be returning back. So we'll be asking about outside worlds like labor market, housing market, and so on. But for now, all they talk about is about their relationship.
Seems like the biggest challenge across the board is income disparity, and one way of kind of casting what you're telling us is the sort of various strategies people go to sort of conceal or make up for.
Yeah.
So in order to live a kind of relationship according to norms and values of equality in a world of inequality.
Yeah.
Would that be fair or too simplistic?
Yeah, exactly. So for example, some because they are both double earners, and their situation is similar, but it usually man earns more. But we know that with age, and they are aware of it, that as the relationship goes on, this disparity would be bigger, because some girls or women were preparing for become pregnant, and they were telling, okay, I will be on my maternity leave, and I will be earning less, and so on, so I know that he, my partner, would be support me. So, but we know that this kind of, for example, when the partner is in difficult situation, the other partners makes a lot of shopping or so on, and they conceal it. They didn't want to talk about gender at all because that's a sensitive issue. In Poland and between couple, and we didn't want to impose this subject openly during the first interviews, mm-hmm. but we observed this strategies of concealing this disparity, but saying, okay, he will like not support me or sustain me, but like help out some kind of make something, and yes, concealing, that's the good word.
Did you have any couples or where the woman owned more?
No.
So I really liked it. It was interesting that there's these three different modes of organising. But then I thought, well, what might be kind of curious would be, and maybe you've kind of looked at this already, the kind of moment of change, like maybe like if people switch from one mode to another, or like the moment where you kind of introduce an Excel spreadsheet into your relationship, right?
Yes.
So what happens at those
Yes,
moments?
Actually, that's the point of our interviews, to observe the process of changing the modes. For example, we are observing the changes of modes by narrations about the past. For example, the couples weren't aware of the fact how they switched the mode. They were telling, okay, so we moved in together, and then we had to buy a car. So he bought a car, it was his car, but I was feeling like I should put some money on it. And then this car somehow became our car, and so on. So this is a process of purchasing some big, I don't know, items like car, furniture, and so on. So a couple has to decide on which principle they will divide the expenses. So from the narration from the past, we observe that purchasing goods like furniture, a car, or thinking about a wedding and starting putting money aside for mortgage, for deposit, down payment, it starts people to shift from one mode to another one. But there is no like one point that, okay, from now on we decide we have money together. It's like a process. It's kind of very hard to track, but we will do it because people are giving us examples.
I have Lotta and then Philip.
Yes. I thought it was so interesting when you said, maybe this is a follow-up on Daniel's question here, that you spoke about when you have children, which is really having something together, right?
Yeah.
That's when it becomes to the common pot. But did you also have couples who had no children who had a common pot, and couples who had gotten children who still sort of had like fair shares or divided?
Actually, we have in this sample we had couples. We had two couples who had kids, and one couple who is actually woman is pregnant right now. So we'll be, when we will be coming back, the baby will be born. And definitely when there are kids, common pot is like the most like it's like I know three cases, so I wouldn't say it's representative, but it's like normal, and people are talking about the future. Okay, for now we work together, but when we have baby, it's obvious, it's normal that we'll have to have some this common pot, because how come? Because the child is something that couple has together. So even if they don't have children right now, they like imagine future and think about this imagined children, and they thinking about having common pot for the children.
Well, thank you. It's kind of very related to that, but you present it as a sort of evolution in a sense, and it almost looks as if there are some sort of hidden, you know, unstated assumptions about what you should do, as you just said, about children or whatever. So I wondered, I mean, you know, if I could draw you out on those, which Lotta did a bit, but also, then is it sort of transgressive? You know, do you get moments where a couple say, well, actually, you know, we've got five kids, but we've still got the Excel spreadsheet for whatever reason, and you see these sort of discussions going on? I don't know.
Actually, I wouldn't like to make this presentation to give the impression that there's this evolution mode. But I'm aware of the fact that it might look like this. But among these 12 couples, we like observe this like process of coming from half and half, through more or less, to this common pot. mode, and people were saying in the normative terms about this money. So this is what you should do. For now, we are just two individuals, but when we have a mortgage together, when we have a baby together, something will change. And some women were frightened, and they were saying, oh my God, I don't know how we are going to do this when we will be married, because he will earn more, and how come I will spend his money? I don't know. But she was like preparing herself to this common pot mode right now.
Okay, this is the last question, Jean.
So, thank you for the presentation. So I was thinking, these shifts between modes, for example, would you then follow if there was, for example, a shift in going from two separate bank accounts to one, for example, as in...
Actually having, we are talking a lot about having bank accounts, it doesn't really matter. Couples were having separate accounts usually, or couples who were married or having mortgage, they were having joint account for the purposes of bank, because bank required to have them a joint account. But actually we had a couple who I would say they were more the most in this common pot mode, but they were having a formal independence because the man was the owner of the company, and they were having different accounts for different purposes. And they were doing a lot of bank transfers, but they were most in this common pot, but they were having like separate accounts. So from this sample, having joint account or separate account doesn't mean anything. It's about mental accounting, seeing money as ours, even if it's allocated on two different accounts. It can work perfectly.
Thanks very much, Martha.
Okay,
so interesting. Okay. second speaker. Get going, Axel, when you're ready.